If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Hebrews chapter 9 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 15. Hebrews 9 and verse 15. For this reason, he, Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you." And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. May we take your word, handle it accurately, communicate it clearly, so that you can teach us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, you may remember that we focused on Hebrews 9 and verse 15, and we used that in conjunction with our communion service last week. And so that's where we start today. The writer says to his Hebrew friends, he, Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant, a new way of dealing with you. The signal, death has taken place. And then this promise at the end of verse 15, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance or of eternal life. But I like that word inheritance. I think it'll become more significant as we work our way through this. Now, for you and me, if at some point this morning you get lost, I get lost, we get lost, go home with this. Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, a new way of doing things. It is all based upon a death that has taken place. And because of that new way of doing things, and because somebody has died, significant, all of those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Leave here this morning, please, with verse 15 ringing in your hearts and in your minds. That being said, verses 16 and 17, for the covenant to be enforced, death must take place. An interesting thing is happening here when you read through this paragraph, and it becomes more interesting when we compare, for instance, the translation that you may have in your lap. My Bible, my translation, takes the word for covenant and translates it the same way all the way through. Now that's convenient to those who like to know that it's the same word all the way through. The problem is, just as in English, sometimes words mean different things based upon their context. So some of you, while you've been reading covenant all through this portion, as the writer of Hebrews is explaining to his Hebrew friends that God is wanting to work differently with you now, all of that that we learned in the law and the tabernacle and the temple were temporary, and all of it was designed to prepare us for what is permanent. And that was based upon a covenant, an agreement. But now he uses the same word, but in a different way. And to help those of us who struggle with that, your Bible maybe says will. For the covenant or the will to be enforced, death must take place. Oh, now I understand what he's talking about here. Verse 16, for where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. That's good news, bad news, right? When our first daughter was born, Marilyn and I went and had a will made. Now, the good thing about that is you have the will, and if and when something happens, then what you have goes to the people you want to have it. You know what the bad news is, though, right? You gotta die in order for that to happen. Okay? Well, that's what he's saying here. A promise has been made, but that promise is only going to happen after a death takes place. To expand upon it, it'll put a little more meat on the bones. Verse 17 says, for a covenant, a will, is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Now that's the basis for a lot of great murder mysteries, right? The detective always has to ask, who benefits by his death? Right? Sure. Now, I confessed to the challenges that my translation created, and while some of you now with puffed up hearts are looking at yours and saying, oh yes, mine already says that really easily, our friends who are still using the King James, their Bibles don't say covenant. Their Bibles don't say will. Their Bible says testament. You know a will and testament? And where mine might translate it an old covenant or first covenant and new covenant, you know that old King James that we think is so old and somewhat inferior to our modern translations, they refer to it as the first covenant or the old covenant and the Old Testament and the New Testament. Maybe those guys in 1611 were a little ahead of their time. But it helps, doesn't it, to understand what we're talking about here. In the Old Testament, 613 laws summed up in 10 commandments, all of that, the worship system that was designed, the temple, the tabernacle, and then later the temple, all designed to remind us, one, that the wages of sin is death. All that blood, all of those sacrifices offered. But at the same time, it was never enough. It never finished it. It never left a man feeling truly forgiven. But as a part of it was the promise that one day a final sacrifice would come. And the source of the covenant, the source of the testament, the source of the will would be the very same thing. The same God who said, take the blood of bulls and goats and offer that for sacrifice in exchange for your sin that you might live. It's the same God who said, one day there will be a perfect sacrifice. Even the first covenant, even the first testament, the Old Testament, was not inaugurated without blood. In verse 19, it says that Moses sprinkled with blood both the book itself and all the people. Maybe a reference to those tablets that held the clef notes to the 613 laws, the Ten Commandments. He sprinkled that with blood. And then he sprinkled all the people. Now, when you read Exodus 24 and that story, you find out that prior to that, Israel had identified 70 elders from each of the tribes so that those 70 men represented the nation. So that's probably who he sprinkled, rather than the 1.5 to 2 million people that were there. But representatives of the people. Moses sprinkled with blood both the book itself and all the people. And this is the blood, verse 20, this is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. So this is the arrangement that God made. This is how we're going to deal with sin for now. This is my provision. This is my grace to you. In obedience, you do it. In obedience, you reflect your faith that you trust me to deal with it this way. Knowing that in time, there will be a final sacrifice. This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. Does that sound at all familiar for those of you who were with us last week? Do you remember when Jesus took the cup and he said, this cup represents the new covenant, the new will, the new agreement that God is going to initiate with you. And then he said, what? In my blood. For this testament, for this will, this covenant to be completed, somebody is going to die. And Jesus says, it's my blood given so that you might have life. And so it says in verse 21, in the same way he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with blood. Now, if you did go back and read Exodus 24, you know that it hasn't been built yet. So what the writer is saying here is that later then, when the tabernacle is finally built, when that brazen altar is built, when the table of showbread, when the table that held the candelabra or the menorah is built, when the altar of incense is built, when the Ark of the Covenant is built with the cherubim on top of it, when all of that is built, that too will be sprinkled with blood. Because this is all a part of our way of obediently dealing with sin for now. Remember, temporarily preparing us for when the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer comes and does this himself. all things are cleansed with blood. And he says something rather interesting here in verse 22, doesn't he? And according to the law, one may almost say, but here's what he says, without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. When it comes to cleaning the life of what is of eternal significance, only blood will do. Why? Well, I've already referenced it. Paul made it very clear to the Roman church. For the wages of sin is death. When Adam sinned, just as God promised, death began. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, that's the rest of the story. To his Jewish friends, the writer of the book of Hebrews is telling them, you were right up to this point. You've been doing all of those things that were temporary, preparing you for when the Christ came or when he would come. What you missed is that he has come. Jesus of Nazareth did everything the prophets said the Christ would do. And a careful reading of the book of Isaiah even describes the death that he would endure and the purpose for it. What the Old Testament, First Testament, the first will promised through the death of animals led to the second covenant, testament, will that was realized in the death of the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus himself. Just as the first testament, covenant, will had to be accepted by faith, the formula is Abraham, predating the law. Abraham believed, and it was counted as righteousness. It's the right choice. Believe God. It's always the right choice. Believe him. With that first testament, covenant, first will, what did he expect? Obedience in the sacrificial system. But the New Testament, the new covenant, the new will is all wrapped up in the blood of the Christ, the Messiah. In his death, and in his death alone, he secured our salvation. It is the only source for eternal life. It is the only source for eternal inheritance. Remember that word? Remember those three statements right at the beginning I told you please remember? The promise of the eternal inheritance. That's what you're looking at. Read the will. I want to know what I get. What's my inheritance? Because Jesus died, my inheritance is eternal life. Offered by grace, received by faith through Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use then to challenge our hearts. Remind us again of who we were without you. All that Jesus provided for us through his finished work, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That because of that, we can have no eternal life. May our lives reflect that truth. Sinners saved by grace through faith in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.